On rules to order, Senator Marty is here with Senate File 1735. Senator Marty, why are we here with this bill?
Mr. Chairman, members, this is a late bill. Senate File 1735 was product of there was a group called E21 dealing with energy policy and regulatory issues related to energy, and we heard the bill in my committee on March 19th, the day before the first deadline. We added the provisions of the bill to Senate File 1431, which passed and was sent out to the floor. But at the time, I indicated, because there are lots of negotiations and discussion going, I suggested that I'd like to have another hearing, even though it would be after deadline, so we could hear what groups were coming up with refining it, figure it was a way to have more public input than simply offering an amendment on the floor. And so I indicated on the 19th, which was before our first deadline, that even though we were putting the language as we has it then out onto the floor, that we would hear the bill. And so we waited till after the second deadline, when we had a little more time as a committee, and heard the bill again on April 14th with the newer language and passed it out of committee. But obviously, under whatever rule 2.03, it got referred here because it is a late bill. The reason, again, the reason we didn't pass the bill on its own then was because we wanted to have more committee and public input, and I think that was it was very upfront before the deadline. We put placeholder language into another bill that we sent to the floor, but that's the point of this.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Marty. Just a little curious about why we're doing this. There is, as far as I can tell, no House companion to this bill. So it doesn't seem that this bill can go anywhere, and I'm just wondering why we are going through this if there's not any hope that this is ever going to get go any further than getting to the floor.
Senator Marty.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, my hope is, and again, we realize time is short, but that that policy ought to be discussed in policy bills instead of budget bills. And I think we're hoping that we can have still a policy conference committee, whichever bill the House sends to merge up with it. But I don't know. I think these are issues that that lots of folks are interested in, the utilities and other groups are interested in, and I'd like to have a chance to make the case. Again, if the House refuses to send anything over, it will not make it.
Senator Hanna, I had a conversation with the Speaker last night about the fact that the Senate has established policy bills, and to the extent we've been able to keep policy out of the budget bills, indicated to him my preference was for the omnibus conference committees to start working on the money provisions in their bills, and that we'd already passed judiciary, transportation, education, health policy bills, and that we were going to consider something a vehicle for an environment policy bill, so that those provisions don't bogged down the negotiations over the budget. So he didn't commit that they would line something up, but he is aware of this situation.
All right. Thanks.
Any other discussion? And it goes to the floor. Is that correct?
Motion here.
Senator Metzen moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 1735 and the report from the Committee on Environment and Energy be adopted. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no.
No.
Motion prevails.
Thank
Senator
you.
Marty, thank you. Senator Ortman. Member Senator Ortman's bill, Senate File 1974, is here because it is a resolution. So, Senator Ortman, tell us what we're going to send to the President and the Congress.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I have one of my co-authors on this resolution with me, Senator Goodwin. Other co-authors are Senator Benson and Senator Sharon. I've identified a great opportunity for the legislature to weigh in on an issue that affects all of us. We have a 200-bed treatment facility for the mentally ill at Anoka Metro Regional Hospital, but they can't fund all of the beds. They can't use all of them for insufficient staffing. 2 years ago, this legislature unanimously passed what's called the 48-hour rule, which sends folks who have an order for treatment in our jails to our treatment facilities. It was passed unanimously 2 years ago. That has really it sent additional folks to this Anoka Metro Regional facility, and they are having difficulty staffing. One of the things I learned about this facility is because it's more than 16 beds, the patients in this facility do not qualify for reimbursement for Medicaid. If we had a facility operating with 16 beds or less, they would qualify for this funding. So the resolution asks that we seek a waiver for federal funds from Medicare and Medicaid to allow us to receive up to $35 million every year in federal funding for the treatment of patients that could be fully funded at a different facility with 16 beds or less. Now, I believe we should be building additional facilities at 16 beds or less. We don't have current plans to do that. So in the meantime, I think we should be seeking a waiver to allow us to use those funds from the state coffers and general fund to treat additional folks or open up beds. So this is one way, as a legislature, we can ask for federal help for the patients that need the treatment in our facilities.
Excuse me if I missed it. How many beds in the facility now?
There are 200 beds, and as of the last report, I believe only 117 were in operation. And last week, there was a pretty big crisis. The commissioner of the Department of Human Services, Commissioner Jessen, sent out a letter to our sheriffs and also to our hospitals saying that they were at capacity and could not treat any more folks, even if there was a court order to provide that treatment. Now, she has since written a letter saying they're okay again now, but she was concerned about the staffing. So they are at capacity with the state funds that we have, and this is an opportunity for us to seek federal funds for some of the services we already provide that could otherwise qualify for Medicaid funding.
Sure. Senator Goodwin, anything to add?
Well, I just want to say that I have a huge shortage of beds in the state, crisis and treatment beds. And, in fact, as I mentioned on the floor before, we're dead last in the nation for the number of beds per capita in Minnesota.
Senator Hahn.
Mr. Chairman, I'm willing to make the motion. I'm not quite sure what the motion is that we need to have.
The floor.
Senator Hahn moves that Senate File 17 or 1974 be recommended to pass.
So moved.
Discussion. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, just a real quick question. If federal government did allow us this, would virtually all the patients in Anoka be covered by MA? In other words, could this be half the funding coming from the feds for this, or we don't, not that much?
Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, I don't know exactly how much. I know if they otherwise qualify for these funds, if we get the waiver, then those funds will reimburse the state for that service.
For half the cost, Senator Marty?
No, for whatever they would otherwise qualify at a smaller facility, Mr. Chair.
Likely half, Senator Murray?
Chair, it would be half under a Medicaid reimbursement.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, have you talked to, or maybe Senator Goodwin, have you talked to anybody from the congressional delegation about this?
Mr. Chair and Senator Cohen, yes, I have spoken with Senator Franken about this.
Me too.
And what was the reaction? What is he doing?
Mr. Chair, I'm not really in a place to speak for Senator Franken, but he is aware of it, and I believe that he is supportive of this effort. I think that a message from our Minnesota State Senate would only strengthen their resolve and their hand in Washington.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, just a comment. So you've made a case for this, and I would certainly support this. For whatever it's worth, Mr. Chairman, I used to give this, not this speech on the Senate floor, but X number of years ago, and it's been a long time since I've mentioned this, there was an article in the New York Times, I want to say 15 years ago or more, saying that there's, at least at that point, there was a room in the U.S. Capitol that when resolutions came from legislatures or whoever else, there was some room with a couple of file cabinets, and that's generally where the resolutions went. So that's why I ask if you had spoken to somebody on the delegation, because that's what would have the impact, and obviously you've done that with Senator Franken. Now, if this is going to be sent to Senator Franken and it reinforces his position, great. But obviously that's the place we'd have an impact. I don't know that Speaker Boehner or Majority Leader McConnell wants to hear from us. But
well,
you're waiting.
Mr. Chair and Senator Cohen, I also spoke to Senator Franken last July personally in person, and I also spoke to his staff several times over the summer and the fall about the need for Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement on, and the need for more beds in Minnesota.
And Mr. Chairman, that...
And he is, I'm sorry, let me finish. He is working on that. He is working on the issue even before I spoke to him. He's working on the issue in Washington some, so this might just help.
So, and Mr. Chairman, if this reinforces Senator Franken or at least puts the issue in front of him, all the better. But it sounds like that's the effective work both of you are doing is talking to Senator Franken.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen, line 2.21 and 2.22 directs... He's sent to Minnesota's senators and representatives in Congress. They will get a copy. Senator Ortman.
And Mr. Chair, I think one of the other additional benefits of doing a resolution like this, it certainly engages some powerful allies around this table and hopefully from the Senate. I do believe that Minnesota state senators do have the ear of their elected officials in Washington, and hopefully this will also create and empower them to have those personal conversations as well.
Any other discussion on the Hand motion? Senator Hand renews his motion that Senate File 1974 be recommended to pass. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Members, we've got an update from our IT director, Josh Mack, that I want to spend a little bit of time on. It's a pretty significant equipment purchase that we need to make to update some of our software, and wanted the entire Rules Committee to hear about it. Senator Hand and I have talked about it. We've met with Josh about it, but we thought that it would be helpful for all of the Rules Committee to hear because it's something that I guess after adjournment, Senator Hand and I could just sign off on, but we thought it would be important for all to hear about it. Mr. Mack?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm here today in front of you to request some funding for my department to upgrade some hardware and software so I can better serve the Senate as well as our constituents with our technology needs. Is there any questions regarding?
Can we just walk through what each one of the categories are?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So the first one I'm requesting is some additional servers for our infrastructure. So that would be a replacement of equipment that we purchased in 2009. This would bring us to a more modern technology that allows us some expansion for the future. The cost for that is $105,977.70, Mr. Chair.
And what will those upgrades, how will members or staff see the system change as a result of that?
So the direct benefit to the members and the staff would see a much improved performance on on applications and things like our web pages loading faster, our internal applications like our human resources applications, as well as internal things that we do here at the Senate would be much faster to load and quicker to work, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Mack, the second category, the hardware upgrades?
Sure. The storage, Mr. Chair, is to increase our storage for our data. We're currently reaching the capacity that we have, and we need to expand that in order for us to have additional capacity. So I'm requesting an upgrade in that space as well, Mr. Chair.
Are we near capacity?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we are very near capacity. And we are very close to running out of space today, Mr. Chair.
In the software upgrades.
So, Mr. Chair, these software upgrades go together with these hardware upgrades. Some of the software, particularly the backup software, is designed to decrease our backup times, so things will be quicker to back up, as well as do a better data verification to ensure the data that we're backing up is the data that we want to back up. One of the software upgrades also would be part of our new servers to put software on them to make them function, Mr. Chair. And the last one is for us to be able to monitor our servers, our network storage, and switches and wireless access points to ensure that they are functioning at full capacity and to proactively monitor them to allow us notification if we do have an issue, Mr. Chair.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Mack, just out of curiosity, you say that the hardware, the server hardware was last 2009. Is this about every 4, 5, 6 years, or it's hard to predict how long this will last?
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, typical lifespan is somewhere between 3 to 5 years. The Senate did have a significant financial concern during the 2010-11 time. So I think we're in a good position to make those upgrades. My understanding is these expenditures will be on this year's budget, so we have money available.
Senator Marty.
And Mr. Chair, just a comment that I think I've seen things being responded to quickly in terms of technology problems, and we still have them. I know on the floor the other day trying to load up one of the bills just wouldn't load, but I'm glad we're making these changes, and I think things have been looking very good.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. this is just a question on the backup. Do we ever actually, how much do we back up, or are we backing up everything? Do we ever get rid of any, or are we just going to end up with a room full of hard drives sometime?
Mr. Chair, Senator Stump, currently the way our backups work is we back up 3 weeks worth of data, and then day 22 would be deleted as day one gets backed up. So we have kind of a running 3 weeks of data at any one time.
Okay.
Senator Newman.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Mack, I heard a figure of $105,000 for the servers. What are the cost of the other three items?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Newman, $148,193.87 for the storage. And the combined software cost is $79,429.79.
I'm sorry. Senator Mattson was whispering in my ear.
It's in your packet.
It's in your packet.
Okay.
The figures again.
Yep, Mr. Chair, Senator Newman. $148,193.87 for the storage. And a total combined software cost of $79,429.79.
Did we pay sales? And Mr. Chairman.
We're trying to help you. Everyone's trying to be helpful, Senator Newman.
You know, sometimes I refuse to be helped.
Yeah, but I was trying to help him, but he throws his pile out.
One more question, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Senator Newman.
Sometimes, Mr. Mack, I am beyond redemption. Earlier in the session, in particular, and maybe everybody had a lot of problems with emails. I know that I had you over at my office several times. Is this going to help us with our emails and with the work that we do with our Senate computers?
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, our email is currently provided by Microsoft in what's called a cloud service. So they handle all of the software as well as all the hardware to make that work. We connect to that service for our email. The responsibility of my department is to make sure that our connection there works, as well as that client software, which is Outlook, what we use to receive and send emails, works. And when we started the session, we had a lot of issues with that. I think we've gotten most of those solved. The goal of this is to upgrade current Senate technology that's in place today here on our campus.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mack, is the easy answer maybe?
The easy answer, Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, the easy answer is it's possible.
Thank you.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mack, I know a lot of us get tons and tons of emails to multiple email addresses, and I know I never erase anything because no one's ever told me there's a concern about capacity like there might be with my private email account. So is this a problem? Does this slow things down? Should we be erasing emails, or is there an important reason that for transparency that we should save our emails?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, currently each Senate employee is given a mailbox size of 50 gigabytes. So you would be notified from Microsoft directly that you are reaching capacity when you receive, when you get to 5%, 2%, 1%, and it would tell you, you know, you need to clean up some mailbox. If there's an issue where a member or a staff needs a larger mailbox, that's something we could discuss, and if that's something the Senate wants to do, we could work that out. So my answer is we have a large capacity, and if you haven't received any notification, I think that you probably have space to grow.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Mack, I will suggest that one of the things that I've sensed is it was a big transition right at when we made the transition to IQ and the new email system and everything. And the one thing I'd say that we would be helpful to look at in the future is trying to find a way that more people have training in terms of how to train others, how to answer, troubleshoot. You and your office have been trying to do that, but I know it would be helpful if we can look in the next year or two how to get more of that available to help people in the transition, because I think Senator Newman's comments about how do you do email, I think I have problems just about every day with things like that. And so I think that's a direction to look at, how we can get more people trained to help those of us who have problems with things.
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, that's an absolutely excellent idea. I'll make sure we make a note to do that.
Mr. Mack, can you tell me this $333,601, is this a firm price, or are there any discounts included or available with that, or where are we at with the number?
Mr. Chair, so that price is a pre-negotiated price that I've worked with the vendors to provide us. It's the total cumulative total for all the items I'm asking for. I was able to negotiate some additional discounts above or below the state contract for this particular purchase to help save the Senate some additional money. So these prices are firm quote numbers from the companies.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to – I had a chance to review these suggestions with Mr. Mack, and I just wanted to publicly acknowledge the – general satisfaction our caucus has had with the performance of the IT department under Mr. Mack's leadership, and we're appreciative of the efforts he's made. So thank you.
Ditto. Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, thank you.
Well, Senator Hand, is that a motion to approve the expenditure on the sheet?
If you need a motion, I'd be happy to make it.
I think we should probably have one. This is, you know, pretty significant disbursement. So
I move that we approve this.
Senator Hand moves approval of the $333,601. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Mr. Mack, thank you.
Thank
Hope
you.
Our timing is works for you.
Mr. Chair, it does. Thank you very much.
That, I think, concludes the business of the Rules Committee, but the subcommittee is going to meet, so the Rules Committee is adjourned.